After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This week, we learn all diamonds are blood diamonds. You send dick pics to chicks so they know what they're working with, and nothing is more American than jerking off in the woods. Call 911 because these are the episodes you will never forget. We are talking Rami, Season 1, Episodes 3 and 4, A Black Spot on the Heart, and Strawberries. Remember, parental advisory is advised. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We learned so much this week.
Oh my gosh, so much.
And then here we are, and it's good to have an actual panel with us this week.
Because, so you can have a conversation.
Yeah,
it was good.
And I feel like we should be on the show, Rami. I feel like Rami should have black friends, and it should be us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Rami, holla.
Yeah, Rami, you need to know. And if you don't know who we are, my name's Taran. I will be hosting this Rami After Show. So we're talking Season 1, Episodes 3 and 4. But I am not alone. I am joined by the wonderful and beautiful Nikki Bailey is in the building.
Ahlan wa haslan.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Yeah, there we go.
All right. That's what ahlan wa sahlan, everybody.
Exactly.
All right.
I love it.
I'm learning.
And that's the thing. That's actually part of our special segment. We will be teaching one Arabic word every Woo-hoo! Single after show, just so we get a little bit more acclimated
love
to the story. And this is an American story. A lot of people think this is an Arab story or it's a Muslim story. This is very much an American perspective.
Absolutely.
Rami. It's an American perspective that we haven't heard before. And I'm very impressed with the show and these episodes overall. What were your overall thoughts, Nikki?
I am loving the show. And I agree, it is an American story. And I'm so excited that we're finally getting a Muslim character in a lead role that has a real life. And, you know, he's a whole person. My view on the two episodes, they were so different. You know, so I guess I have to say I felt like there were a lot of moments where I went, oh, that's deep. Oh, wow. A lot of like, oh, I can't believe a lot of, I don't believe this is happening. I hope this is a dream. Please don't send dick pics to Sarah.
Wow.
That would be my overall summary.
I don't know. Sarah may or may not like it. I think it's a Sarah conversation, don't you think?
It really is true.
Well, I'll tell you what I had. First of all, overall thoughts on Rami and these two particular episodes. Episodes, we're talking 3 and 4, A Black Spot on the Heart and Strawberries. Overall thought was, first of all, Rami is this millennial Muslim American tale. And it is a mixture of a show that's on FX and a show that's on Amazon. It is Arab American Atlanta. And there's a show on Amazon Prime called Informer. And if they melded these two shows and they had a kid, it would be Rami.
It would be Rami.
And it's the story, the way that it's the cinematography, the way that it's shot, the concept, it is provocative.
Yeah.
It is a strong perspective. And I always have to remind people, it is not called Muslim Americans. It is not called Muslims in America. It's not called American Muslim. It is called Rami.
Yeah, it's not this Muslim life.
Exactly.
Right. Like it's specifically about this dude. And
it's
I love that you brought
Rami
that up on the last
Youssef.
Episode.
And
yeah.
It is his perspective. And if you knew Rami and if you've heard his comedy, you realize that this is very much a true to him, true to his life, and true to what he presents as a brand character that has come to life.
Absolutely. And I love that. I mean, I love his stand-up. Which lends itself so beautifully to a show like this, to telling these stories in a way that is personal and emotional and like from moment to moment, laughing out loud to,
to understanding.
Yeah.
We're actually learning a lot on the show, and there's a great thing you pointed out Nikki, you stated that I'm glad to see a Muslim American in a lead role. We've seen a Muslim American in a lead role. This time, he doesn't have any bombs. This time,
he doesn't
he's
work
not,
for the CIA.
Exactly. He's right, not running from or away or with Jack Bauer. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so refreshing. And people need to understand that this is a piece of Americana, too. As we learned and as children, this is a melting pot. And this is part of the flavor that makes up this soup that we call the United States of America. As it goes for the episodes 3 and 4, I would like to say that, first of all, we got two refreshing different points of view at the same time in two back-to-back episodes.
Absolutely.
Where they were extremely creative. We learned a lot. We get this conflict of not just being Muslim and an American, but Muslim and Muslim. And when I say that, I mean the different levels of religion.
Yeah.
And religious experience that one seems to have. Everyone just seems that seems to think that Islam is this conservative religion, and everyone who's in it is either ultra conservative or an extremist. There is no in between, and yet that's not the case whatsoever. Right. We get to see a lot more of who Rami is as a person. I'm loving Mo Ammer. I'm loving Dave Mirage. I'm loving them. Their characters are amazing.
And Steve.
And Steve.
Absolutely loving
Steve. Steve is just, you know, I am so impressed that Rami had the foresight. Look, when we use the term woke, we usually think of the African-American experience.
Absolutely.
Like, woke means black. Woke, right. you understand things about the black community. No, no, no. This show is extremely woke.
It's all the way around woke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that we have, you know, a differently abled character who is kind of an asshole is lovely.
It is.
You know, I mean, in the same ways that we sort of pigeonhole Muslim Americans as ultra-religious, conservative, whatever, we also pigeonhole people with different abilities, you know? So if you're in a wheelchair, you must be stupid, or you must be, 100%. You know, yeah, you know, so like, I love that we're getting to see these fully well-rounded characters who are real people.
I also enjoyed that in episode 4, we get this flashback. Now, we get a basis for who Rami is, where Rami, now, we don't just get to see 20-something Rami. We're now looking at teenager Rami, pre-teenager Rami, growing up, what that experience was, and something that isn't really talked about on TV, where it reminded me a bit of Sopranos. You know, the parts of Sopranos that weren't gangster-related or mm-hmm. mafia-related? Mm-hmm. It was such an insightful perspective of what it must have been like to be Middle Eastern or Arab.
Yeah.
An American right after 9/11.
And a kid.
And
I mean,
a kid.
So many different things there that are really sort of informing us about things that I'd say that you know most Americans don't know because we haven't had this on television before.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of things play. This episode, we are going to be breaking down by episode. Episode 3, A Black Spot on the Heart. We're going to be breaking it down. We're going to talk about, first of all, Islam and Judaism and how they play and the differences and similarities. That's actually a big point of contention between a lot of people, and the show plays it out perfectly. We're going to talk about Arabic as a second language because it does also play a part, and the wedding customs in the Middle East. We're going to discuss praying, Rami doing ecstasy. That was fun. Hi, Rami, talk crazy. He's talking crazy. White Muslims, which unbeknownst to people, believe
thing.
It or not, is a thing when a believer commits a sin and cleaning the mosque. That's what we're going to talk about episode 3. But then we're going to discuss and break down episode 4, changing a lot of gears as we go into strawberries. We're going to talk 12-year-old Rami. We're going to talk parents don't close the door. We're going to talk some 9/11. We're going to talk walkie-talkie. We're going to talk about another similarity between Jews and Muslims and being scapegoats. We're going to talk, show us you're not a terrorist, and that's a test that a lot of Middle Eastern Muslim and brown Americans have to go through right after 9/11. Discuss a little bit of James Pool Party that none of us know how it went down. Rami and his opinions and paranoia, and then, of course, the huge conversation with Osama bin Laden that happened, which was, this is when we say, well, when we say woke, we mean wake up. Wake up to Rami. Honestly,
ooh,
best
yes.
show on Hulu.
Absolutely.
Let's begin with episode 3. Did you have an overall thought about episode 3 on its own?
I think that my overall thought about episode 3 was there were just so many moments of deep wisdom. I really felt like You know, even before he got to the mosque and had his moment about, you know, the black mark on the heart, the black spot on the heart, like, I felt like there were all these little tidbits of, you know, some good, some bad, but like little jewels that you're getting from his friends. So Mo and what's the other guy's name? Mo and
Ahmed.
Yeah.
Dave.
Dave.
Yeah,
Dave. What's Dave's character's name? Ahmed. Is Ahmed. Okay. Yeah. So that they were giving him advice on the way into the party about sending a dick pic. And then after the next day, obviously now after the game, you can't do it. So there were just so many lovely little nuggets. The whole thing with Rami talking to Steve's mom and like his sort of, you know, getting into the like the sackcloth and ashes of like, Steve's going to die. And you're like, this is sick and twisted, but also weirdly beautiful. Like, it's so well written that I just was living for every moment.
Listen, here's the thing about Rami, the show, okay? Rami Youssef, if you know Rami, this is his show. This is Rami in person. This is Rami incarnate. This is who he is. Episode 3 with the black spot on the heart, they always tie it back in. They do so with talking about getting a black spot on the heart every time you commit a sin, and then you have to clean it off. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Rami goes through and cleans the mosque. We see that as he is basically revealing himself to us, he's revealing himself to himself. Mm. And we see that throughout episode 3. We learn about Rami through his actions and not his words. The show does not ever need to hit you on the nose. It is there, and you interpret and understand it. And we learn a little bit about Ramadan and the differences of how people react to this basic pillar of Islam, this one ritual where this custom and tradition and holiday for all aspects of American interpretation of a tradition that exists within Islam, right? And we learned that some people take Ramadan very seriously.
Yeah.
Others do not. Yeah. And that's the thing we have to understand. People are just people, and that's the point of Rami.
And just like any Christian, just like any, you know, Jewish person, some people observe the holidays, some people don't. Like, I love that we're getting to see that, you know, that there are, what's the word? Oh, God.
That looks like a submarine. I'm going with submarine.
Thank you. It's not a submarine.
Okay.
Sounds like scale. That there's sort of a scale
of,
you know, how spiritual or religious people are and how they aren't.
I prefer submarine. Let's talk
submarine
Islam
better.
And Judaism, because we get that feel when we meet Sarah. Sarah, of course, coming off the cutie from last episode, who's the niece of the
person who's buying the watch.
The watch buyer from the religious watch buyer. He's a Hasidic Jew. So you see that Sarah is coming off a very religious family, is part of a very religious family. I'm assuming that her family is Shomer Nagiyah. Shomer Nagiyah, of course, in Judaism, is a tradition that's very conservative. It's part of the Chabad. And it is a situation where most girls don't touch guys. Guys don't touch girls. They only touch family members or people they're married to. It's a very conservative sect of Judaism. And I'm only saying this because of the tradition, as we see him fully observing Shabbat, meaning there were no lights on. There were only candles.
He couldn't open the door. The door was already open.
Exactly. Because you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to do
any business. Mm-hmm. And so he did it the most Jewish of ways, which is to do it within the confines of Shabbat. And I know this how this works, because many times I found myself being the goyim, Shabbat goyim, the shomer, where you're the person in the family, because my family is half Muslim, half Jewish.
Oh, wow.
Right? So you see this where basically in a lot of Jewish households, if you're in a building in Israel, the elevators just go up and down. No one's there. You can't push the buttons, but it does go up and down because you're just using it. You're not the one utilizing
Don't have to exert the effort of pushing the buttons.
Exactly. So now we see that Sarah comes from this kind of family, but she's not that person. In fact, we learn about this layer that she lives in her own
floor
of the house. Which is amazing, because you're talking about being in Brooklyn and you have a whole floor. So, you know, you come from a wealthy family.
It's one of those fabulous brownstones.
Sure.
Yeah.
And she's having this party. She's having a party and people are there and she's getting it on with Rami and she's enjoying Rami's company. And Rami brings the crew.
Oh my gosh, the crew.
Yeah, Mo and Ahmed come along.
And Ahmed gets in there, and he's in there like literally 30 seconds before he's like, nope, I'm going to go somewhere else, find a quiet spot to pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not because he's specifically religious. It's actually because he's just older. He's already married. He's
like, what do I need a party for?
Exactly. What am I doing? I'm just going to get in trouble.
I love that his highlight from the party was the mattress.
Yeah, it was such
a good
mattress.
I have been that person. Yeah, yes, I get it. Yeah.
And that's the thing. People are like, oh, he's doing this because he's Muslim. No, he's actually having a great time. He just is kind of an introvert and he doesn't want to get
Found
in trouble.
A quiet
he's doing
corner.
His own thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mo's on the other side. Mo's partying.
Mixing drinks. Yeah. Like, dancing.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. And I love that Rami and Mo both have moves.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So now we see Rami and Sarah. How do you like that?
I loved the energy when they first started. I love how easy the joking was and how, you know, they obviously have a similar sense of humor. I just wish that in that moment when she was about to make that decision, that she had the decision about taking the ecstasy pill. I wish that she had checked and said, what do you think? Because I thought they had something that could have become something awesome. Of course, it could have also become a Romeo and Juliet, like, Montagues and Capulets or whatever. So, like,
that's what I feel like it's building up
to,
right?
Me too.
Because you have Uncle Nassim and, of course, Sarah's uncle, and they are kind of at odds, but they're kind of uneasy allies. And that's actually something you see a lot in that community is, oh, I hate Arabs, I hate Jews. Wait,
my
isn't
good friend.
Your best friend Arab? Isn't your best friend Jewish? Yeah, he's a good one, but the other ones. Like, and so you learn a lot. And we also get a nod to that when Rami's father says, we can't be anti-Semitic. We're also Semitic.
Right.
And it's because everyone is basically one people.
Yeah.
And nowhere do I see that more than in my own family, right?
Wow,
I see that a lot. So it's a concept where on my father's side, my family's Muslim and Zoroastrian. And on my mother's side, my family's Baptist and Jewish.
Wow.
And that's like directly my grandparents.
Wow.
So everyone had a tradition. Everyone had a culture. And I saw that blend. And this is what you see where Sarah, who's not religious, she's Jew-ish, she's the ish part, and
she
says it up front. And then Rami, who's extremely Americanized, is actually kind of Muslim, more Muslim than the rest of his family.
Yeah.
He's in many ways, he's the one who takes it all very serious, and he takes Ramadan extremely seriously. We've learned that Rami doesn't drink or do drugs, and in this one, we learned that he's never done, like, he
never
hasn't
done
ecstasy,
never tried
anything.
Yeah.
And so here we go. He's like, I don't do drugs.
I would first like to say I would like to come to a holiday at your house because your family sounds amazing. The food's probably amazing. That was what I wanted. I wanted to acknowledge that. The other thing I wanted to acknowledge was I loved this. I think we all have this idea that if you are a strict adherent to whatever religion you are, then you have to follow the rules.
Sure.
You know, and so I think that what we're seeing Rami sort of figuring out, how do I have this in my life and have it be an important part of my life and still be the right kind of Muslim, to be Muslim enough to be, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really felt like, that struggle of like, well, I want to be with this girl, but I don't want to cross this line.
Yeah.
And that's a huge choice. And like, how do you navigate? And the character is what, 23? You know, and that's a lot to navigate. Like, you're navigating sort of, how do I live most fully as the person that I want to be, you know, and in faith with my religion, and also how do I like get some?
Yeah, how do you reconcile? And here's the thing, it's a perfect example of how we pick and choose what our religion says.
Oh, totally.
And I have this conversation where it's like, so let me understand, you hate gay people because your religion says it, even though it only mentions it 6 times, but it tells you to love your neighbor 114 times, but you forgot that part.
Right.
This is where Rami has premarital sex. Rami has gone out. He's done things that, of course, are technically, quote unquote, anti-Islam or against the tenets of Islam. But he draws the line on his own principles, or he has his own rules that he follows.
Yeah, he has his own sort of, you know, I'm going to observe these and not these. And his friends even call him out on it when they get to breakfast the next day.
Exactly, they call him out. And that's something that happens. Because everyone, for some reason, takes Islam as if you're that strict. And when I say there's a comparison between Islam and Judaism, let's talk about things like covering. You know, a lot of Jewish women also cover, except they happen to use wigs. Mm-hmm. So it's not their own hair that's being shown. The dress is very similar. When we go to the mosque, we realize something, that the men and women are separated, mm-hmm. and the men never go to the women's section. And Mo even is like, why would I ever go there?
It's the women's section. Right. It's not like you can just walk up to a Muslim girl and be like, can I have your dad's phone number? Yeah.
It's like a concept, right? So these things all play, and we learn that. But in temple, especially conservative temples, it's also very similar, where mm-hmm. men and women are separated. And it's just different. And we get that play from Uncle Nassim where he says, it's our job to protect the women. It's not that we don't trust the women. It's that we don't trust the men. It's interesting. It's its own rules, right? Its own logic that doesn't always play, and especially in the Western world.
I thought it was a really important point of logic. That wasn't from these two episodes, but I thought it was a really important thing to highlight, because I think Americans tend to think of hijab. Is that how you say it?
Hajj.
No, the covering.
Hijab.
They tend to think of hijab as something that men do to women, and forget that women have agency and they can make their own choices, you know. And so if a woman decides to cover, like his mother doesn't cover, you know, then that's her right. And I thought it was really...
His sister doesn't cover.
Yeah, like, and his sister doesn't cover. I thought it was really beautiful that Uncle Nassim, I wanted to hate, but I loved him. And I thought it thought it was really beautiful that he said it that way, because I think that shifts the perspective for people.
It does. And we get Uncle Nassim in the beginning of this episode, thankfully, because we missed him. Uncle Nassim, of course, he's selling diamonds, like, and the customer, is that a blood diamond? It's like, no.
<It's> like, the blood's not on my hands.
And then Rami's like, wait, but you said that. Do you know? And he's like, I don't know. All diamonds are blood diamonds.
Right.
And that's such a profound thing to say, that all diamonds are blood diamonds. All of them have been ripped from somebody. Mm-hmm. And it reminds us of things like colonialism and that extortion that happens, especially in Africa, because we hate to talk about
the rape of the land, you know, and we don't talk about it.
And it's so real.
Yeah.
And it's these little gems that Uncle Nassim throws out that are amazing. Speaking Arabic is a point that comes to play, as Rami is now meeting the imam, hooked it up, and is like, hey, got a girl waiting. It's Ahmed's cousin, and she's in the room, and he goes there, and she's cute. She's hijabbed up.
Yeah.
And they're talking, and then...
Wait, was this an episode?
No, this is like a play where now we're talking about like how it works in the mosque. Because when it comes to, is the praying mm-hmm. is something that always comes up, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here we are, like, this is what I mean by the contention of how Islam is, sometimes it's strict, sometimes based on people, just like anything else. So now we see different people pray. We see Ahmed praying at the party.
Mm-hmm.
We see Rami basically praying whenever he gets a chance.
Yeah.
Wants to wake up and get to pray. We see them praying. How did you perceive that praying culture, where Islam is sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's not?
It's always, I was raised in a Christian family. My dad was a minister. And then I went And then I went to seminary. So I have a Master of Divinity degree.
Sheesh.
And so, but I've always...
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome.
Ahlan wa sahlan, yeah. Right? I've taught world religion classes, and I've always admired praying five times a day.
Sure.
I'm in Islam. It's a beautiful, like the fully embodied form of prayer, which I really think is beautiful. And I think, like, I as a Christian am always slightly uncomfortable when I see Christians praying on television. Like when I see a Christian character pray, I'm always like,
why? No. Why does it give you that feeling?
I think because we kind of play at religion in this country. And so, like, you know, there are those of us who are, there are people who are like super stringent about their and strict about their religion, but there's something about like, I think the entertainment industry sort of thinks of religion as sort of like this sort of silly thing that that people do. And I always feel like it's never 100% sincere when I see a character praying on television.
But what did you think about Muslims praying?
But what I loved about, what I was going to say was, what I loved about this is it's such a, just a part of life. Like it's such an ingrained part of life that, I'm at a party, but you know, I still got to get my prayers in. So I'm going to just, you know,
hop over into another room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how it was being. That's what the point of it was.
Yeah.
Is to show the ubiquitousness of praying. It's just.
It's just.
It's a prayer. It's not more severe because it right. is a little more entailed. It's a prayer, the way you would pray. And we I spoke about Allah last after show, where I explained Allah simply is the word God. Mm-hmm. And that's how praying. And we see Mo pray, and he prays. And we see Ahmed praying, and he's praying next to an Israeli flag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a strong image.
Oh, my gosh. And it so shows strong. You, yeah.
Hey, there is no conflict. Like, you don't have to be anti, you can be pro-Israel and pro
absolutely
pro-Palestine, yeah. pro-Judaism and pro-Islam, and that's what that scene showed.
Yeah, so beautifully.
It was so
without
nice.
Like having to whack us on the head with it. It was beautiful.
Exactly,
yeah, it was absolutely beautiful.
So Arabic as a second language, we see them speak Arabic in front of English speakers. Does that make you uncomfortable when people speak foreign languages in front of you?
No.
A lot of people do feel uncomfortable. Really? And we see that in the scene where they're speaking, and of course, Steve's there, and they're speaking Arabic, but then they say random things in English.
And Steve's like, go fund me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So Arabic is secondly, a lot of times, even when I'm within a group of friends that are speaking a foreign language and I can join in, I do join in. It's just a natural comfort zone. It's not on purpose.
Yeah.
We're not
yeah.
hiding something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's just a part of sort of our Americanisms, is that we, you know, that whole, even the most progressive of us have, you know, I'm sure had that thought, why aren't they speaking English?
Yeah.
Mind your business. They're not talking to you.
Exactly.
And so yeah, no, I thought that was, and I loved how easily they flow back and forth between Arabic and English and I love Steve. Steve did not care. Steve's just sitting there.
Exactly.
Like, Steve, you know, Steve's like, yeah, Steve's just like, whatever, F you. Like, I don't.
And
yeah.
we get the concept that Steve is around.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, because before there was a sense that maybe Steve and Rami were just work friends.
And he kept maybe he his kept lives separately, separate, but he doesn't.
But
yeah.
No, he
yeah.
brings them all together, which is a big thing, because I personally don't often bring all my
friends
together.
You don't
let your
together. World
collide? Sometimes I don't. I do. As I've gotten older, but especially when I was young, I didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's so nice to see Rami show that effect of what happens when your worlds collide. We're talking about collision. Rami does ecstasy.
No, it was weed.
Oh, it was weed.
Yes.
Yes.
He takes Steve's last
oh, yeah,
weed
he
gummy.
Takes a weed gummy. It was a weed
and
gummy.
And it was 100 milligrams of yes. THC, which is a lot.
Yes.
If you don't do the drugs. And has an amazing trip.
Yes. And I meant as in he did the metaphoric ecstasy because he watched Sarah
right,
do it.
Exactly.
He's like, I've
yeah,
never
yeah,
done
yeah.
anything. And
I'm
going to
just spur the
exactly.
moment. Yeah.
But he does this very potent gummy.
Incredible.
Edible.
Yes.
And if anyone knows how edibles
do
work.
Do not mess with edibles.
You don't mess with the edibles. A lot of people. I've never done drugs. And I know. I'm aware yeah. of it. I wouldn't just take a brownie.
No. 100 milligrams
exactly.
of THC
is
a lot.
It's a lot.
They tell you to start at 5.
Exactly. I was going to point that out.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
it. They tell you to start at 5. And now this new Rami comes out. This I don't know if it's enlightened Rami. Is it free Rami? What would you call this Rami?
No, I think it's pensive Rami.
Ooh.
I think he's like... I think he's just open and the thoughts are flowing.
Yeah.
And... he doesn't have a filter anymore, so he just says what he wants to say, even if it's traumatizing poor Steve's mom.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Steve's house and he just dropped some too much truth.
Too much truth. It was like, shut it down, Rami. Come on, man.
He's like,
you don't.
I don't know how you must feel. You gave birth to half a person. Like he's just.
Is that your fault?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He's gonna die. You look at him. You know, most parents think they're gonna die first and then their kids, but you know right. your kid's gonna die.
You're gonna have to get a baby casket.
I feel for you. Yeah. Oh my
gosh. It was...
They're cheaper. Like, I mean, he just says crazy things. And you know what's even better is that Steven isn't even mad. He's just like, oh, Rami.
Right.
Like he's not sad.
Which makes me think that maybe this is just sort of Rami to the like nth degree. Like so Steven's like, all right, this like he must be like this at least a little bit on the everyday, so that now that he's at this level,
Steve's not embarrassed.
Like, whatever, dude, just go home.
Yeah, just go home. You've done too much today.
Yeah.
go home, come back again tomorrow, basically.
Feeling,
yeah. And it gives you sense. Now, we've felt that Steve and Rami are very close. We've seen Rami holding Steve on the bathroom, which means, hey, we're really good close friends. And we're getting that sense. So that's actually a nice tidbit to know, because it does play in episode 4. We also see a white Muslim. We go into the mosque, and Rami's feeling some type of way. He goes to the mosque, and he sees a white Muslim. And that's something that people forget.
I didn't know there were white Muslims until I lived in New York.
Did you really not?
I did not know. And I was in my late 20s by that point. And I was teaching a world religions class, and we went to visit a mosque. And I was like, there are white people here.
There are.
I had no idea.
There are a lot of white Muslims. America especially has a lot of white Muslims. There was a huge influx of Muslims through the 80s. And then a lot of people converted. And it was definitely, we're talking about...
Well, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, right?
It is. It's a very... And it has a lot to do with the population booms overseas. Right. I mean, we're talking more about India and Indonesia in a lot of those aspects, because a lot of people don't realize that the Middle East only contains something like 25% of all Muslims. Most Muslims, and this is an interesting point, is when you talk about terrorism, quote unquote, you're really, unbeknownst to you, are just saying Arabs, right? You're saying Middle Easterners, because no one's afraid of an Asian guy who gets on a flight.
Right.
And that's what most Muslims look like. Most Muslims would look Asian. Most Muslims would look Indian. There are something like 300 million Muslims in India. There's almost a billion Muslims in Indonesia. You're talking 800 million Muslims in Indonesia. Yeah. And something like maybe without Iran, you're talking about a population of 100 million Muslims in the Middle East. Wow. So there's roughly about as many Muslims in the Middle East as there are Christians in Nigeria.
Wow.
And people forget to put these things into scale.
I don't know that people could put it into scale, because they don't know it to begin with. I didn't know all that. So. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, before we move on to our next topic, I do want to let you know about Anchor, because Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It gives you everything you need in one place for free, just like this show, which you can use right from your phone or computer. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great, just like this one. And they'll even distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere podcasts are heard, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and so many more. You can easily make money from your podcast too, with no minimum listenership. Get started today by downloading the Anchor app, or you can go to anchor.fm. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
Yeah. And then you look at America, and there's just a lot of white people. And of course, inevitably, some would convert and some would grow up. I actually have a friend who's also a comedian, Ahmed Weinberg, who comes from a Jewish family, and his family converted before his birth and named him Ahmed.
Wow.
So he is Ahmed Weinberg, also a comedian. And so you're probably going to see some things from him as well. So we see this white Muslim, and it makes you, the audience, just like you, who didn't know there were white Muslims until you were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people realize there are white Muslims in the world.
Yeah.
And that's what the point, and it was, and this white Muslim knew things. They are devout.
Was well studied and had and knew the language and could go back to, you know, and pull wisdom. That was beautiful. Yeah.
And you see that a lot with converts. Converts are usually the ones who are a little more devout. They're the ones because
you make a choice.
They made a choice. Yeah. It's not cultural. It's not traditional.
Right.
It's something where you've maybe researched or thought about it, and then you made a choice, or you found religion. And so they're a little more devout. And this is a case where we see this white Muslim who's a devout Muslim.
Yeah.
And Rami's still hiding at the mosque. And that's a conflict of interest, right? And he decides, with this concept of cleaning spots of sin off his heart, how do you clean off sin? How do you determine what is wrong and right? That's a core value in this. He decides to clean the mosque.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of doing a mitzvah. You know, like he was like, you know, I have this thing I need to purge, and so to do that, I'm gonna clean metaphorically as I clean literally.
And that's exactly what it was. And then of course we see the Nike shoes. His Nike shoes play their own part, and they always go in the same exact box. So that's something, that's a tidbit and an Easter egg that we would like to see. Very Rami thing to do. Now we're gonna get into episode 4. And episode 4, which was very heavy, was also a lot more simple. And the reason why it was simple is because it deals with 12-year-old Rami coming to life, and the day after the day during and after 9/11. Mm-hmm. So that's 12-year-old Rami who's doing two things, coming of age and coming about and representing himself as an Arab American post 9/11
in North Jersey,
which was
heavily affected.
Exactly. Because you were talking Ground Zero. Now, the places that were the most affected by 9/11 are New York City and Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. because that's the two places the attack took place.
Yeah, I was in New York on 9/11.
I was in Washington, D.C., we were in school, and it was just a very crazy time. Where were you at 9/11?
I was in seminary. It was my first day of class in seminary.
Wow.
And you know, I woke up to a phone call from my mother freaking out, and I'm like, I'm so far away from the World Trade Center. What are you talking about? I thought she was having a dream. Mm. So, yeah. It was a crazy day, a crazy few months there to walk around the city and see soldiers with guns and to smell it all the time. The smell lasted forever. Yeah. So it was a lot.
And that's why it's just such an atrocity. It was just, it was definitely a big deal for us entirely as a nation in the United States. And that's something where when we say never forget, that was a date, but it also affected a lot of Americans, and Rami displays this as a 12-year-old Rami. It's just growing up. I mean, we see him dealing with not jerking off. He's on ICQ, which is a precursor to things like AOL online, mm-hmm. and it's out there like it's a messaging service, mm-hmm. where people would go on and you would log in and it would use the phone line and you would get on the computer, and he's learning about sex from other people because his parents obviously aren't
going
to
have that conversation.
They're
not. Yeah.
It's not an easy conversation to have. Rami explains it where he says, girls, no boys, and that was about it. That's the extent of the conversation. So 12-year-old Rami, we see him, and we see him with his parents. The younger family, his dad says, don't close the door. Were you allowed to close the door?
No. Oh, my gosh.
So
no.
It's not anything different.
Yeah.
It's not different. Parents are like, don't close the door.
I feel like that's an ethnic thing. I don't know if white people do that because I've never lived in a white people's house. But I definitely know that my black parents were just not about that. Yeah.
You know, when it comes to an ethnic thing, I would say it's not just ethnic. I would say that Southern culture is closer to ethnic culture than it is to what we think of white culture.
I would agree.
And that it doesn't matter if you're Southern black, Southern white, Southern, whatever you are. When you're Southern, there is a very close similarity between ethnic culture. That's a lot closer, actually, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
And Midwestern value and all those things would actually play a lot more places. So when you think of conservative Muslims, they're not that far off from conservative evangelicals.
Yeah.
No, like you would see some very similar attitudes towards things. Not that that's the case with Rami's parents. Rami's parents are actually pretty cool. They're just also very foreign. We hear the word fob. Fob meaning fresh off the boat. And it means a very recent immigrant. You're acting as if you just got here from that third world country. You're still acting very fresh off the boat, very immigrant-like.
Yeah.
So that's what fob means. There were some questions on that.
I wanted to ask you, his parents called him Habiba?
Habibi.
Habibi.
Now, Habibi is a term of endearment, okay? Habibi, and for a girl, it would be Habibti.
Habibti. Okay?
Yeah. So Habibi, but you could also say Habibi. Habibi is a term of endearment. It's like my dear, you know. Like, it's a sweet thing to say. Oh, Habibi. And it's a very sweet thing to say.
It is sweet,
so, so you should call people Habibi.
Habibi, okay.
In Farsi, they would say June.
June?
Yeah, June. Like, my life.
It's very similar. I like Habibi. I think I'm going to use that.
It is. It's a term of endearment, and it's a sweet thing, and a lot of people use that for their children.
Yeah.
Habibi. We also see Hayati Cafe is the name of the hookah lounge. Hayati means my life. And it's also a term of endearment. Yeah. You would say that, Hayati, a parent would say that to a kid. A lover would say that to their lover, Hayati.
Hayati,
yeah.
I'm going to have to spell it since you taught me that all of the letters are heard.
Yeah, it's phonetic languages. So every letter is basically pronounced. So you pronounced everything. So I'll spell it. So if you were spelling Habibi, it's Habibi.
Okay.
Habibi. And that's...
Love it.
Yeah, it's a cute thing, and it shows how endearing his parents are to him. And then, of course, they give him a walkie-talkie instead of a cell phone. Something very immigrant parent, by the way. Be like, oh, what does a phone do? It talks this talk.
You're walking and talking.
Yes,
what?
It's the same thing. They give him a walkie-talkie. Now he goes to school. He's dealing with this whole concept of is he going to jerk off? That was the thing. And mm-hmm. that's actually...
They made a pact.
Why is that a normal... That is a normal thing that Super every normal. Kid goes through. Yeah. It doesn't matter what race or religion you are.
Absolutely.
Everyone goes through that adolescent, puberty, pre-puberty. What is sex? How is sex?
Yeah.
And of course, Rami lies about jerking off. He's never jerked off. And he doesn't even know how, really. And they're like... Have you ever jerked off? And they talk about it later, and he's like, yeah, six times. Like,
oh,
he's trying
Rami.
To overprove.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so, because 9/11 happens, and he has to prove, and they feel like the most American thing you can do is, have you ever jerked off? Don't even lie to us. It's like, yeah, six times. All the time.
All the time. Wow. Bless his little heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be painful.
And they sent him to the woods.
Oh, first of all, why would you go in the woods to, why would you send somebody into the woods to jerk off on a leaf?
He had to prove it.
On a leaf.
He had to bring it back and prove it
to them. Oh my gosh. What an alienating experience. I mean, all I could think was watching that was, this is going to cause a fetish. This is going to, he's going to end up with a fetish about magazines and, you know, like Good Housekeeping magazines, because this is how he discovered how to jerk off.
And here's the thing. This isn't the only show. So 9/11 happens, mm-hmm. and he's in class, and everyone's kind of looking at him. Even the teacher is looking at him. And then his walkie-talkie goes off, and it just looks suspect. They're speaking Arabic, and they're asking him how he is, if he's okay. Rami, come in. You know, and it doesn't matter, because all of a sudden, all Arabic sounds like 9/11, bomb, bomb, bomb.
And all he's getting is, I am so obviously different. These people are staring at me. Now they know. It was almost like he got outed in a way. Like suddenly a difference that was there that didn't mean anything suddenly means something that it never did before.
Yeah. And that's where we get he gets uninvited to James's pool party, which we find out from the dad.
So
they
canceled
the pool party. And then he goes to school and realizes, why weren't you at James's pool party? And he realizes the pool party had happened.
That is so mean.
We see the friends, of course, alienating him. His close friends, James and all those guys, they're all of a sudden treating him different, and he feels very different.
Yeah.
We also see the dad put up an American flag, something that happened all across. American flags, the sales just went astronomical, but especially Middle Eastern people were putting up American flags to show their solidarity or be American.
And also, like, the idea that, like, you know, we're forcing people, especially around that time, American, like, our society was forcing people to prove you were loyal by condemning terror, like, as though that would be necessary, which it was outrageous to me. So, and I felt so, it was heartbreaking when the dad was putting up the flag.
And he, like, looked at the neighbor, and he was like, the neighbor dismissed him. You're part of the problem. And that was a line. Show us you're not a terrorist. Yeah. And this is the question, like, if I asked you, do you speak Swahili? Do you?
No.
Prove it.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you do something that you don't do?
Yeah.
And that was that feeling, that tense, that, and it made us as an audience so empathetic. This is Rami. He looks different, but now he feels different.
Yeah.
And it was, and I think they did the eyebrow thing on purpose, where the eyebrows were like thick and full, and you could see it. And you could just tell this Rami, just now he feels Arab. He feels Egyptian.
Yeah.
He's other now.
Yeah. He's been otherized.
He's other.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And then we see how Jews and Muslims are both scapegoat. And when I say that, I mean, here we have a group of people, and especially Uncle Nassim goes, none of the Jews came to work. The Jews weren't there. They weren't in the, and scapegoat. And on the other hand, Muslim scapegoat. It's like everyone's pointing fingers at everyone else and not realizing the fingers needs to be pointed at the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Those are bad people. Mm-hmm. And there are good and bad people in every
community.
No
matter where you come from, there are good and bad people.
Yeah. But the worst of the worst person shows up in a dream. Osama bin Laden. Rami starts thinking his parents are possibly terrorists. They have these walkie-talkies. He has a walkie-talkie. Even he gets caught up in the hype and hysteria a little. And then he has this dream and Osama shows up. And they talk about strawberries.
I had this moment when that happened where I was like, I hope Rami doesn't get in trouble for having an Osama bin Laden character. Like, I was just like, that's bold.
It was bold.
That was bold.
It was bold, it was brave, and the guy looked like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, like, that was just, I was like, and I legitimately wrote down, is it too soon? Because, you know, people were so, it's obviously not too soon, but, I think that like it's almost a, it's almost like in, you know, in comedy, there's this, can you tell Holocaust jokes? Like, can you tell 9/11 jokes? And like, so here he is in this, in a sitcom dramedy with Osama bin Laden eating strawberries and looking strawberries for whipped cream.
And talking about that strawberry. And that is very important because it is a factual tale, but it's also something that's used to radicalize. And Rami was not radicalized. And he was like, no, I won't eat strawberries when it's not season, but I'm not like you.
I'm not like you.
And that was the huge, huge point of it. I'm not like you.
Yeah.
So we see that Rami knows that there is a difference between extreme Muslims and Arabs and himself and his family and others.
Yeah, and he decided in that moment, you know, not only did who he wants to be in, you know, the world, but who he wants to be to the world. You know, like he's saying, look, I am a Muslim American and I am who I am, but I am not that. And you will not make me that.
He is not that, and you can't make him that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We have basically summed up all of episode 3 and 4. Let's get into some news and gossip really quick because it's exciting news. And exciting gossip.
Oh my
Rami
goodness.
Has been renewed.
Woo!
10 episodes have been ordered by Hulu. Rami, which has been controversial, but everywhere. You can't drive anywhere in LA without seeing a billboard for Rami. And it gets a season 2.
They better get a season 2.
Yeah.
This is an incredible television show.
It
so,
is.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, Hulu, welcome to the woke folk.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
You're there. And we love this character, this creation. And we also see, of course, at the end of episode 4, that friendship with Steven
starts.
Exactly. It starts because they both feel like outcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they find each other, which we're going to learn more about as we go into season 2. That's going to be a huge bonding.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the most fun. So let's play our game where we learn a new word.
Yes, let's.
Takalama Arabi. That's the name of the game. Our special segment, Takalama Arabi, where we learn a useful concept in Arabic. This week, we're going to learn Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. And now, especially on the heels of Ramadan.
That's a holiday, right?
It's an observance. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's the where you fast from sunup to sundown and you observe all the tenets as you basically give into one of the pillars of Islam. It begins Monday, May 6th. So when it's completed, you will be using Eid Mubarak, Ramadan Mubarak, which is basically not the term happy, but like congratulations on your Ramadan.
So you would say Ramadan
Mubarak.
Mubarak.
Yeah.
Okay. Or Eid Mubarak.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So you go. That's as simple as it gets. You want to wish someone a happy holiday? That's how you do it in Arabic.
See, we don't fool around here at AfterBuzz. You don't just get entertainment. You get education.
That's right. And we appreciate each and every one of you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Remember, this panel isn't just us. It's all of you at home as well. So please comment below. Let us know what your thoughts are, theories, and all your opinions. More importantly, if you're on iTunes listening to us, give us that 5-star rating we so much deserve. This panel isn't just us. All of you are on this panel. Thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yeah.
So, predictions.
Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I predict that Rami is going to have a beautiful romantic experience. And I hope we get to see more of Dina because I think she's a total badass.
She's amazing. And I do believe we'll get a lot more of Dina. And because the next episode is due the Ramadan, and that's where we get a lot of the concepts of Ramadan, especially going into Ramadan, which is a brilliant move by Rami.
Mm-hmm.
Ramadan is going to be starting May 6th for the next month. I feel that we get more of that concept of the clash between what is Muslim and what is not. And that's a huge point of contention for this show, Rami, where it says, as you pointed out, Nikki, that there's a huge scale of Muslim, and it doesn't mean you're any more or less Muslim.
Right.
You just are either more, you're more attuned to the religion, or you're not. It doesn't make you any less or more of a good person. And that's a huge part. And we have that scale when it comes to Christianity, and more of us need to understand that it also exists with other religions, especially Islam. So that's my prediction. I don't know, where can people find you if you want to be found?
I can be found at Nikki Bailey_ on all the social medias.
That's great. I'm going to find you. I'm going to follow you.
Awesome. I'm going to follow you. Well, where can we follow you?
At I Am Tehran all across the board, because guess what? I am Tehran. I-A-M-T-H-R-A-N. And find me on a slew of other AfterBuzz After shows as I host and talk about all your favorite TV shows. So until next time, we're going to be talking about our favorite TV show, Rami, episodes 5 and 6. Same Rami time, same Rami AfterBuzz channel. Buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.